Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. And on today's episode, I'm going to be sitting down with Rick Lynch, who is the SVP of Business Development at Verify. And we're going to be discussing chargebacks. And the conversation we had was before the holiday season. But I think a lot of the information is still applicable today. As we know, chargebacks don't go away just because the holidays go away. And we're also going to be talking about everybody's favorite subcategory of fraud, of friendly fraud as well, too. So without any further delay, let's start the show. So Rick, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
Certainly glad to have you on here. And so as the holiday shopping season is in full swing here, what can, from your perspective, what can merchants expect volume-wise when we take a particular look at chargebacks this season? And also, do you think that this will be better or worse than it was last year?
Sure. Well, e-commerce is continuing to explode, and I think projections are already showing that volume is expected to definitely be up again this year. It's been a pretty good year for the economy, so volume is expected to be up, and of course, more and more people are moving to the online channel to purchase. So it's definitely going to increase. In terms of chargebacks, the question is really, is the ratio of chargebacks, right, going to go up? Obviously, because volume is up, we would expect a higher dollar amount of chargebacks to occur. But we also are expecting a higher percentage of transactions to become chargebacks. And that's really driven by the fact that the EMV migration has driven much of the fraud behavior out of the brick and mortar channel. The guys that are committing fraud don't just, decide not to do fraud anymore. They look for the path of least resistance, right, to continue to perform that fraud. And so that volume of fraud has moved to the online channel. So it is probably more concentrated now in the e-commerce sector than has ever been before.
Excellent. Thank you for that. Now, obviously, from your perspective, what do merchants need to keep in mind to help prepare themselves for, unfortunately, the inevitable chargebacks that are going to be coming from this, and particularly, especially as we go deeper into the holiday season, and then also as we kind of know, right thereafter as well, too?
Sure. So I think when you're looking at how do you prevent chargebacks as a merchant, right, there's always a cost versus a benefit. There's a lot of tools in the marketplace out there that you can employ, but they all represent additional costs on that transaction. So you don't want to employ all options all the time. It's important for merchants to assess their business and use their own knowledge of what has transpired so far to determine which products are the most risky, right? The ones that are most likely to be charged back. Many merchants can probably whittle down some of the things that they're selling, if not a majority of the things that they're selling, and have, an average amount of chargeback and fraud prevention protection on those. But there's usually a small percentage of products that represent a disproportionate risk to that merchant's business. And those are where you're going to want to concentrate your research, your fraud solutions, your manual review, to make sure that the expense of preventing chargebacks is concentrated where the risk is greatest. In terms of third-party fraud solutions, there are things like IP geolocation, device ID, 3D secure, chargeback alerts. All of these solutions are very effective at helping to prevent or to mitigate losses. Again, it's really important for the merchant to use their own knowledge about where the risk is coming from to focus that kind of increased cost per transaction onto those products that they believe represent the greatest risk.
Right. So it's kind of basically saying that, okay, merchants should really put the resources where they ultimately feel that, is going to be, as you point out, that greatest risk there. But the other side of the coin here now. So what do you think from a bank issuer perspective that they can do to help merchants mitigate this holiday chargeback season?
Sure. So banks are probably more than ever focused on establishing relationships with merchants. In years past, decades past, there was a big disconnect between merchants and banks, and there really wasn't any kind of interaction or dialogue. That's changed a lot just in the last couple of years. Our own solution, CDRN, is a solution that connects merchants directly to banks and gives merchants the ability to find out about a potential dispute before that dispute is officially filed as a chargeback. That network that provides that information gives merchants almost instant information about a dispute. And in some cases, it can allow a merchant to stop shipment on an order they've already shipped. Or if they haven't fulfilled that order yet, they can actually just end the order and not ship the product at all. If the product has shipped and they know the transaction's at risk, that's an opportunity for the merchant to try and get ahead of the problem by gathering and making sure that they have captured the sufficient information that they will need, that when that eventual chargeback does occur, that they have the information readily available to submit a good response and fight and win that chargeback. So banks are very excited about merchants that are looking to take proactive steps to prevent chargebacks. There are solutions like the one that Verify offers in the market that merchants can employ that, again, give them real-time heads up on a dispute, sometimes within a matter of a few seconds of that dispute being initiated.
All right. And so I think I kind of get what you're saying here is really that, you know, transparency of this data really plays a big role in helping to kind of mitigate chargebacks, correct?
That and timing, right? I mean, so with e-commerce, we are in a world where a customer can you know, shop from anywhere on the planet with one click, right? And so the speed and convenience of being able to buy is phenomenal. It's instantaneous. But what has lagged behind is the dispute process itself. Many merchants are surprised to find out that the chargeback, right, when it occurs, isn't typically notified to a merchant until maybe 2 to 3 weeks after that customer has actually complained. Once that chargeback is filed, it can take up to 4 months for that dispute to finally be resolved, either in the favor of the merchant or the cardholder. That's kind of crazy, right, in this world of instantaneous e-commerce transactions. So the banks realize this, and so they're working with partners like Verify to make this a real-time dispute system that really matches up more appropriately with the real-time purchasing that we already are enjoying.
Yeah, so thank you for that. Certainly very interesting. Now, friendly fraud is certainly a very interesting kind of subcategory when it comes into fraud here. But, you know, what is a good way for merchants to mitigate friendly fraud without, you know, the losing potential return of customers?
Sure. So friendly fraud has been that really unsolvable problem for a long time. Verify has been really working on that pretty intensely. We have a solution called Order Insight, which is specifically designed to address that. What we've learned is that many cases, friendly fraud isn't intentional fraud. It is usually tied to a legitimate purchase that the customer is either confused about. It's possible that a spouse or a child made the purchase and the primary cardholder is unaware, or maybe the information that the customer has been provided on their billing statement is unclear and it doesn't remind them that that purchase was actually something that they made. Our solution, Order Insight, is meant to connect a merchant's purchase information around the original sale back upstream to the issuing bank so that when a cardholder calls and says, "I don't recognize this transaction," that the bank agent on the phone can quickly retrieve that information and review that purchase in detail with the cardholder. This is a way for the cardholder's memory to be jogged, right, if they don't recognize what's the payment descriptor or customer service phone number on the billing statement. The bank agent can say, "Well, here's the products that were in your checkout. Here's the location of the store. Here's the website address of the site where you purchased." They may have things like email address of the purchaser as well. So all that information is a rich data set that the banks normally did not have before our Order Insight product was made available. And now we're finding that with the banks being given this information and having it available to them during the discussion with the cardholder, that as many as half of all disputes are being resolved where the customer says, "You know what? I recognize that purchase. I don't need to charge back. Thank you for the information." So, long story short, much of what we consider to be friendly fraud is largely due to customer confusion. And in many cases, we're finding that the customer, once they can resolve that confusion, they don't want to dispute the charge. But the key there is getting that information into the customer's hands so they can make that decision.
Excellent. Now, I'd like to shift the conversation over to the mobile side of things. You know, on our end, we're certainly seeing mobile this holiday season really playing a much larger role, and it's kind of not really the much surprise to a lot of people, just considering, you know, how people are shopping nowadays. But how does that then translate into chargebacks, and how is that different from traditional chargebacks?
Sure. So mobile being a different purchase platform represents some challenges for merchants. Obviously, in the brick-and-mortar environment, you have a signed sales receipt, and that's very valuable in helping to protect the merchant's purchase. That's not available in the e-commerce channel. In the e-commerce channel, merchants have learned to do things like capture device ID, IP address, and other information that the customer generates as they're interacting with a laptop or a desktop computer. Now, when you move to mobile, some of those things necessarily aren't there or they may change. And of course, the customer experience of the checkout itself, because of the different form factor, right, of the mobile device, requires that merchant to kind of change and in many cases streamline the purchase process to simplify it, right, to make it easy for that mobile purchasing. So merchants just really have to be careful that in the mobile experience that they're capturing the important and necessary data that they will need to defend that purchase if and when there's a dispute down the road. You know, the other thing that mobile does provide that's unique is that you can do a exact location of that mobile device in a real world environment, right? So in the brick and mortar, you know the store that the purchase was made. In a desktop scenario, you may know the household or the IP address. In the mobile scenario, if you think about a ride sharing service, you can actually track the mobile device and see where that purchase was made, where the pickup was made. And that information is very valuable to the merchant in proving that the purchase was legitimate.
No, certainly very, very interesting there in terms of just the amount of data being able to be collected and therefore, you know, as you said, verifying that, hey, this was an actual payment and, you know, building up that case against that. So, well, Rick, thank you very much for taking the time today for speaking to us about chargebacks, and we hope to have you back on the podcast real soon.
Great. Would love to do it. Thanks for having me.